Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3 in just a moment. I've noticed an interesting phenomena through the years that happens occasionally. It doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it seems like some couples, when they've been together a long period of time, they start to look like one another. Have you ever seen that? It happens. But one that's a little scarier to me is when the pet owner starts to look like the pet. I will never forget one time I saw this older gentleman walking this bulldog, and I promise you if they'd been wearing the same stuff, it'd been hard to tell who was walking whom. But seriously, we have a way of reflecting the people that we spend time with. The group you hang around can't help but to rub off on you. If the people you spend time with are odd, look out, you might be too. Just saying. But it's true that the characteristics and habits of those that we spend time with often come out in our behavior. It may be a phrase that somebody we hang around says or uses frequently. It could be mannerisms that make their way into our lives. I have a tendency personally, if I'm around somebody who has a real strong Southern accent, being Southern myself, to slip into that, especially, you know, somebody who starts to say those flat eyes, you know what I'm talking about, right, night, light. It's just real easy to slip right in to that. Start sounding a little bit like the cast of Hee Haw. Not that that's a bad thing, I'm just saying. As Christians, we need to realize that the people that we spend time with can often become a reflection of who we are. For instance, if you spend time with people who are always negative, you may find yourself focusing more on the negative. If you spend time around people who use foul language, you may find it harder for you not to use foul language. If you spend too much time with someone who's out of fellowship with God or doesn't know God, you may find yourself listening more to them and less to God. We need to be careful of the company that we keep. So this morning we're going to spend a few moments in Psalm 1, and as we look at this passage, we need to carefully examine the moments of our day and see who we're spending time around. If we're not spending time with God, we're not going to be able to fight against all the negative influences around us. However, if we spend time with God, if we make Him a priority in our time, then we can overcome any negative influences that we may cross in our lives. So let's take a look at what the psalmist has to say. Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege of studying your word together this morning. God, open our hearts and minds that we might hear from you, and help us to honestly examine the company we keep. Help us to honestly examine where we're investing our time. And Lord, I pray right now that I might decrease, that you might increase. And God, may your truth be spoken here. It's in your precious and powerful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to look this morning at three truths about God from this passage. The first truth that we see here is the promise of God. Now in verse 1, God tells us three things that the man who is blessed does not do. So be careful to make note of what the man who is blessed avoids. First of all, the blessed man doesn't believe the wicked. The man who follows God will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The wicked is anyone ultimately who would seek to avoid doing God's will. In our lives, other believers can lead us astray and can become wicked in our life by leading us to do things that don't honor God. We have to be careful about those that we're around. We want to be around people who encourage us in our faith, who point us toward God. Now, hear me, I'm not saying that as believers we should never be around lost people, because how are we going to reach them if we're not around them? We need to be reaching out to lost people. You've even heard me say before, if you don't know any lost people in your life, you need to get to know some other people, because you need to be reaching out to those around you who don't know Christ. But with that being said, the influencers in our life should not be lost people. The influencers in our lives should be saved people, people who will encourage us in our faith, who will push us forward. If you want to follow after God, you can't listen to the deception and craftiness of the wicked. They disguise what they say and do in very creative ways. They say they're concerned about you. They say they're concerned about this situation, when in reality, all they want to do is lead you astray. Now, they're not even oftentimes fully aware of what they're doing, but many times they are manipulating you because you're not paying attention to the things of God. Instead, you're listening to them. The man or woman of God will turn to God for counsel and listen to the wisdom of God through Scripture instead of the lies of man. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." If you're seeking godly counsel, why in the world would you go to another individual first when you have the Word of God? Now notice I said first. It's okay to go to another individual, but make sure you go to the Word of God first. And then if you're going to go to somebody, don't go to somebody you know will agree with you automatically. Go to somebody who is grounded in the Word of God and who will give you biblical counsel. Sometimes we need to hear things that are hard to hear from the Word of God. Many times I need to hear things that are hard to hear from the Word of God because I need to know the truth. I need to know what God says about it, not what somebody else says about that particular subject or that particular issue. It doesn't matter what culture says. What matters is what God says about it. True understanding, true wisdom comes from God and His Word. Those who are blessed and want to understand His Word are open to the correction of God's Word. Because God is a loving God, He is a just God. Doesn't the Word of God say, for those whom He loves, He chastens or corrects or disciplines? Yes, because He loves us, He disciplines us. He corrects us, and we need the discipline of His Word. We need to know that this is right and this is wrong. The bottom line for us, though, God's Word has so many things that are clearly right. If we pay more attention to that and do those things, we don't have time to be involved in the things that are wrong. But secondly, a man is blessed when he doesn't behave like the sinner. Now, verse 1 says that blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the path of sinners. We have to be very careful and conscious about who we are around and what we do. We can very easily give a bad testimony for the Lord if we allow ourselves to stand in the path of sinners. If we go to places that we know don't please God, we're standing in the path of sinners. Now, let me pause right here to make it very clear. All of us are sinners. But as believers, we're saved by grace. And not my opinion, but the Word of God makes it clear. As believers, we are saints. We are followers of Christ. We are His children. With that being said, we don't need to hang out in places and around people who will lead us to do things that we know don't honor God. Be careful of where you go. Be careful of what you do. Now, listen, I'm not talking about legalism here at all. I don't want you to go down that path at all. That's not what this is about. But it is about giving a good testimony. It is about, as Paul said, if the meat bothers your brother, don't eat it. Paul was plenty strong enough in the faith to eat the meat, but there were too many weak people around him that he would be a stumbling block to if he did that. So Paul said, be careful. If we do things that we know don't please God, we're standing in the path of sinners. Our love for our saved brothers and sisters and for the lost around us should compel us to carefully examine the things that we do. I mean, I'm not picking on you. I'm not fussing at anybody. But I'll never forget one time I was in Red Lobster, and I needed some change to leave a tip. And the waitress said, you can go to the bar and get some change. I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to go to the bar because I don't even want somebody to mistakenly, he's paying off his tab over there at the bar. I don't want anybody to mistakenly think that that was me. So while that might seem crazy to you, I want to be careful about the witness that I give and where I am and what I'm doing. But the Word of God, you say, well, that's just too spiritual, preacher. The Word of God very clearly says, Peter says it clearly, God says to us, be holy as I am holy. The Word of God doesn't say, hey, little Christians, go and be good. The Word of God says, be holy as I am holy. That's a high calling. That's a high standard. So be careful about the places you go. Be careful about what you do. Thirdly, the blessed man doesn't belong with scoffers. Now, I didn't say golfers. I know some of you think that. It's scoffers. The word there in the Hebrew can also be translated as mockers. These are the people who like to sit on their blessed assurance and criticize everything someone else does. This is the person in the church who sits back and outside the church who sits back and mocks everything Christians try to do. Oh, look at them. There they go. Those self-righteous folks. You know, if anybody says to you, well, I'm not going to church because of the hypocrites, you say, hey, that's all right, brother. We got room for one more. Come on. Because the truth is, we all are. We all fall. We all make mistakes. And let me, in a more poignant way, let me say, if you let a hypocrite stand between you and God, guess who's closer to God? Hello? Positionally, they're closer to God than you are because they're standing between you and God. We don't need to allow those around us to bring us down. And we need to make sure we're not the one doing that. Make sure you're not. You don't have that. Some people, I'm convinced, think they have the spiritual gift of criticism. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not. You know, I realize some of us are wired with an analytical, sort of critical kind of mind. We see problems in things, and that's good in some situations, but we need to be careful in the church that we don't become so consumed with that we think everything's got to be fixed. You're not. You got problems. So sometimes we're going to work in spite of our problems. What you'll find out about this kind of person, the scoffer, is that their problems, their complaints are seldom doctrinal. They're about important stuff like the color of the carpet or the color of the walls. That was sarcasm. They're not concerned with things that should matter. It's amazing how upset somebody will get because a plant was moved, but aren't even remotely broken over the fact there's a lost person living next door to them. Is this on? We need to be, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. There are lost people around us that need to hear the word of God. And if we're going to get upset about something, we need to be broken over the lost around us, not because that painting was moved to another location in the church. I praise God. We haven't had those kind of problems here. But I know those things exist. We need to be concerned about the lost. We need to care about the lost. The mocker or the scoffer is often crude in their speech, and they say things that don't honor God. The mocker is more interested in attention for himself than he is for pointing people to God. He's not interested in God and not interested in knowing God because self is the most important thing in his life. During the war between England and Spain, Queen Elizabeth I was informed of a treasonous plan involving two of her own subjects, three of her own subjects. The three were brought before her throne, and they knew the penalty for treason was beheading, and they saw the executioner standing nearby. Each bowed low before the queen and extended his neck, waiting for the sentence. The Queen Elizabeth herself stood and drew a sword. She walked down to the men and did an amazing thing. She knighted each one of them. The men in the crowd that had gathered were astonished. These men went from awaiting a sure death sentence, apparently from the queen herself, to a position of honor given by her very hand. So how did they respond? Did they ask for wealth, land, or privilege? Of course not. Who would think of doing such a thing? They returned to the war, and each contributed to England's victory against the attack from the Spanish Armada. Their response was to serve their queen with their very lives. You and I deserved death, but God said, I love you. I'm going to take that penalty upon myself. He sent his son to die in our place. And we have to learn that if we receive God's blessings, if we are to receive his blessings, then we need to walk with him. How ungrateful we act when we rebel against him in light of the high price he paid for our forgiveness. If we walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers, we're asking to be judged by God and we're a stumbling block to the cause of the gospel. We must be very careful that we're not walking with the kind of people that God warns us of in this passage. Yes, we should reach out to the lost. Yes, we should build relationships with those who need to know Christ, but we need to make sure we're the influencer, not being influenced. We need to be working to point them to Christ. Even people who call themselves Christians can have attitudes and actions that are not of God. And if we spend too much time around them, we may find our attitudes and our behavior becomes more like theirs. Folks, I had rather spend time with God and with his people and people who love to follow him than I would to spend time with anybody. People who want to see God's will accomplished encourage me and strengthen me to stay close to God and follow his will. We ought to want to be around people who will push us in our faith. You know, if there's anything in your life that you want to do better, if you can get around somebody who does it better than you, you can learn from them. How much more so in the Christian faith? We need to grow. We want to be around people who will push us to grow, who help us see what it means to walk with the Lord. I pray that we would all be able to say, as Paul could say, you want to live the Christian life? Then follow me. Come do what I do. Come follow me. So we see the promise of God. The second truth about God is the presence of God. The presence of God. One thing that happens in the life of someone who comes to know the Lord is that they want to spend time in the presence of the Lord. The person who loves God wants to be in Bible study and wants to learn more about God. The person who does not love God doesn't care what God's word says. You know, one of the things that you'll find as you study God's word is you want to study it more. Now hear me, we're in a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle as Christians. The enemy wants to rob us of the joy of studying God's word. And when we get away from his word for one day, it's a struggle to go back. But when we get away from his word for a week, it's a real struggle to go back. If we get away from his word for a month, it becomes really, really hard to go back. One of the principles that I found to be true in my life is if I constantly stay in God's word, I want to know what God's word has to say. And I'm telling you, I get excited about some things, but there's nothing cooler to me than when I pick up God's word and God shows me a nugget I hadn't seen before. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be back in the Gospel of Mark, picking up in chapter 9. God showed me something in those first verses that I hadn't seen before in that. In the transfiguration. I'm not going to tell you, but in 2 weeks you'll hear about it. There's a little tease. God's word becomes real in our lives when we live by his word. It's not enough to know it intellectually. It's not enough to know it academically. He is the living word. And we want his word to be poured into us so that it comes out of us. It comes out in our behavior. It comes out in what we do. Listen, none of us are perfect. All of us are flawed. We're all going to make mistakes. But the more we spend time with God, the more his word begins to change us. The more we spend time with him, the more we begin to reflect his character. I want to see God lived out in my life. I want to see him shine through me. Those who don't know Christ, they need to see him in me. The truth about God is in his word. So if I'm going to know him, I've got to spend time in his word. And the more we spend time in God's word, the more we learn about his character, the more we reflect his character. One Sunday when the famous preacher Henry Ward Beecher had to be absent from the church, his brother was scheduled to preach. The auditorium was crowded, but when it became evident that Henry Ward Beecher wasn't there and that he wouldn't be preaching that day, some began to leave. The brother wasn't disturbed at all. He stood up and called for silence, and he said, "All who came to worship Henry Ward Beecher may leave now. The rest will remain to worship God." And no one else left. If we're not careful, we can get caught up in the periphery of things instead of seeking God himself. It's easy to follow the teaching or preaching of someone that we like to hear and lose sight of the fact that we're supposed to follow God. We should search God's word. We should never assume. You've heard me say, and I'm going to continue to say it as long as I have a breath in my body. Don't take for granted that everything I tell you is right. Make sure you compare it to God's word. God's word is the truth. I'm just a punk he uses to preach his word. I'm grateful for it. I don't deserve it. Nobody deserves to stand behind this sacred desk and handle his word. But it's not about me. It's about him. Make sure you dig into God's word and you know what his word has to say. Even the most well-intended person can misspeak, can make mistakes in what they say. There are many preachers that I love to listen to, but even when I listen to them, I'm listening to them with a critical ear, not to criticize them, but to compare what they say to God's word. And if they say something that I believe deviates from God's word, I'm going to go with God's word, not man. make sure you dig into God's Word. One of the dangers of this media age that we live in is the fact that some people substitute the connection and accountability of the church by listening to preaching on TV or the internet. Now hear me, I'm not talking about the genuine shut-in who can't get out and go, who is blessed by the opportunity to sit down and hear somebody preach, to watch them on TV or to watch them on the internet or hear them. That's a wonderful thing that we have that capability, that we're able to do those things. But what I am telling you, this is where there are two huge issues with that. First of all, you don't have the accountability of other believers. We need the accountability. We need the encouragement of other believers around us. We need that. But here's what for me is the greater issue even beyond that. You have been given a spiritual gift, and if you're not in church, you're not using that spiritual gift in the body of Christ that God gave you that spiritual gift to use it in. You don't have a spiritual gift that was meant for you. You don't have a spiritual gift that was meant for you. Your spiritual gift was meant for the body of Christ. If you're not exercising your spiritual gift in the body of Christ, then the body of Christ is weaker because you're not doing what God placed you there to do. We all have spiritual gifts that God wants us to use in the body of Christ. That's why, as long as we can, we need to be plugged into the body of Christ, into the church. But it begins with spending time with God. Are you spending time with God? Do you delight in His Word and in learning His truths? We need to learn His Word and to think on His Word throughout each day. As we think of God's Word, we begin to understand it more and more. Start off by trying to memorize Scripture. Now, I am not standing here and telling you, you got to memorize all of Scripture. I certainly don't have all of Scripture memorized. I'll never forget getting to hear... Oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Herschel Hobbs wrote a number of the Sunday school commentaries years ago, and I got to hear Herschel Hobbs at Ridgecrest one year. Herschel Hobbs had the entire Psalms memorized. And when he stood up, if he had stood up and preached from this today, he would not have looked at a Bible. He would have just quoted it to you. I couldn't even quote to you those three verses verbatim. He could quote the entire Psalms. But God hadn't called us to memorize the Bible, but He has called us to hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. That means we need to be memorizing His Word. We need to be storing it in. And frankly, I don't think you're going to get to heaven and God's going to go, you know, you almost had that verse down. If you could just remember the reference for it. No, He doesn't. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to let His Word. So as you're reading God's Word, there may be a verse that leaps out to you. Then write it down. Put it in a place you'll see it regularly. And maybe for a month, I'm not telling you memorize a new verse every day. Gracious, if you have the mind that can do that, that's awesome. Do it. That ain't me, Chief. I can't do that. But I can memorize God's Word if I'm willing to spend time with it. We want to learn the Word of God. We want to study His Word. We want to dig into His Word. Now, I would encourage you to be a little more challenging to yourself than John 11:35. Jesus wept. Find something that's encouraging. Find something that's a little more that will help you. I like to memorize verses like Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loves us. Verses that encourage us, verses that lift us up, verses that give us strength when we face difficult times. One of my life verses is Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. God's word encourages us. It strengthens us. So we see the promise of God, and we should desire the presence of God. But next I want you to see the power of God. The power of God. In verse 3, we find another wonderful truth about God. God will establish and prosper those who follow His ways. Now, you need to understand that I'm not talking about prosperity in the world's eyes. There are some powerfully prosperous Christians who don't have a dime to their name. You say, well, how can you say that, preacher? Well, all you need to do is just listen to a few accounts from missionaries about Chinese Christians who could pray down the walls of this church but don't have much in the world's eyes. But God will strengthen and prosper us. He will grow us. He will mature us in the faith. The psalmist compares the man who follows God to a tree that's firmly planted by streams of water. Here you have the picture of someone who's getting all the spiritual nourishment that they need. Roots being near a stream of water would not lack for water, but instead would have all they needed. A tree without strong roots can't stand the most difficult times. You know, back when we were actually getting rain in the winter and spring, and we were getting more rain than we really wanted, I can't even fathom what the number of trees that came down during that time would have been. Even today, as you're riding around, you'll see where a tree came down on the road, where it was cleaned up, but the stump of it or the trunk of it was left there, and it's just not far off the road even now. We don't want to be a tree that gets blown over when the difficult times of life come because our roots were shallow. When we dig into God's word, when the storms of life come, notice I said when they come, because they will come. When they come, if we're well rooted in God's word, we'll have the strength to endure even through those difficult times, even through those difficult storms. Healthy roots will not only help you withstand the storms of life, but they will also produce good fruit. Is there any evidence of good fruit for the kingdom of God in your life? Are you taking on the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit? You're not going to have them all mastered in this life, but you should be more and more reflecting that. As we grow and mature in Christ, our roots go deeper in Him, and we should produce more and more fruit in Him. And we need to be honest with ourselves this morning and examine and see if we're truly producers in the Christian faith, if we're producing the fruit of God in what we're doing. Another interesting thing about this tree is that its leaves do not wither. Now, hold on. Hang in there with me. I am not saying, nor is the Word of God saying, that if you're a Christian, you won't get any older. That ain't true. We know that. We can look around the room. Y'all looking at one. We get older. Things hurt. This body is not meant to be eternal. However, every single one of us will live for eternity. But those who don't know Christ will spend their eternity in a lake of fire. I don't know about you, but I can't really call that living. But for those of us who know Christ, for those of us who have placed our faith in Christ, we will be with Him for eternity. And anything that we do in His name and anything that we do in His power will prosper and last for eternity. Back when I was in school, somewhere maybe around, I don't know, 5th, 6th, 7th grade, somewhere along in there, all the really cool guys carried a comb in their back pocket. And it looked something like this. Some of you are looking at that and you're going, yep, I remember those. I know those. I remember those combs. The really cool guys carried that because you had the hair parted down the middle that was feathered back and you could, you know, that comb was perfect. Get that little flip going on your hair. So all the cool guys had that. The non-cool guys had this. So you know which one I carried. That's right, this one. I didn't carry either one. I actually had one of both. But one of the things about some of these combs is they claim to be unbreakable. So I decided one day to test that theory out, see if it was unbreakable. Bend it this way, bend it back the other way. Bend it this way, bend it back the other way. Keep going and going. And you know what happened? It broke. Eventually, 3.5 hours later, it broke. I don't remember how long. It took a while. It was nearly indestructible, but that comb wasn't meant to last forever. We can waste our time distracted by all sorts of things that are not eternal. We can waste our time with things that won't even matter next week. Isn't it amazing how upset we get over something that won't even be a thought tomorrow? But I wonder, when it comes to the truth of God's word, the eternal word of God, and the relationship that we have with Him that will last for eternity, how concerned about Him are we? How concerned are we about spending time in His word? How concerned are we about getting to know Him more? Listen, I don't want to get to heaven and then God be a stranger to me. I mean, Paul tells me in God's word that we will know him as we have been known. I'm excited about that reality that I'll know him as I've been known. But I want to know him, and I want to live in such a way that he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not that God would do it, but I don't want to be the one who walks in and goes, man, I didn't expect to see you here. You know, God knows our heart. And let's be living in such a way that we can stand before him one day, or really more accurately, kneel before him, knowing that we've given everything so that he might be glorified in our lives. What are you doing to let him fill you with his power so that you can have the strength of God to overcome whatever you face, so that you can have the peace of God as you face it? Listen, having the peace of God does not mean that everything around you is peaceful. Having the peace of God means that when things are crazy around you, you still have the calm in the middle of the storm. Without him, you can't survive the attacks of the enemy. However, with him, you overwhelmingly conquer even the worst enemies. You can be a man who's blessed if you do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. You must learn to delight in the Lord and in his word, and to spend time with him and let him grow you in your life. You must be willing to pay the price for spending time with him. That means that it must be a priority to you. You may have to give up a TV show. You may have to give up time on Facebook. You may have to give up a few minutes of sleep. Whatever it is, whatever your best time is, I would encourage you to give it to God. I would encourage you that if you can have your quiet time in the morning, that's a great way to start the day. But I realize some people are not morning people at all. And it may be that your best time would be later in the day sometime, and then that's okay, but I would encourage you in this. If you're not a morning person and you're going to have your quiet time later, at least start off by reading a verse. At least start off by focusing your attention on God. Just take 2 minutes, read a verse, and let God encourage you and focus your thought on him for the day. You know, I realize it may come after that cup of coffee, because before that you're not human until you've had that cup of coffee. But at least let God focus your thoughts for the day, even if your quiet time is going to be later in the day. But give him your best time. Make time with him a priority in your life. And allow him to help you overcome the bad influences around you, because you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything to be influenced negatively throughout your day. Michael and I were talking yesterday. Cass and Michael came in to get their pictures done, and he was telling me about a tract he saw one time that, on the front of the tract, it said, what do you have to do to go to hell? You open it up, and on the inside it said, nothing. Nothing. See, if you do nothing in your life, you're closer to living for the enemy than you are to living for God. But if you want to live for God, you've got to be intentional about spending time with him. I want to give you 3 quick ways you can determine what's more important to you. First of all, do the people you associate with seek to live God-honoring lives? Do the people you associate with seek to live God-honoring lives? Be careful. We tend to reflect those we hang around. Number 2, do you make time with God a priority in your life? Can't say that enough. Do you make time with God a priority in your life? And then number 3, can you see other people being influenced by your witness for God? Can you see other people being positively influenced by your witness for God? There are Christians here this morning that would have to admit some of those things are not true. The good news is we serve a God whose mercies are new every day. Maybe you need to come and kneel at this altar and say, God, I want to live for you. I want to be a witness for you. Help me to make time with you a priority. I'm convinced if we'll spend more and more time with him, we'll more and more reflect his character. We're more likely to do his will. We're more likely to glorify him and lift him up on a daily basis. Maybe you're here today and you realize that God's leading you to become a part of this church, to serve him through the ministry of this church. If he's leading you here, then you come and share that with me. But I'd be willing to guess there's some folks here today who've never placed their faith in Christ. It's really this simple. You've got to admit to yourself that you're a sinner. You've got to simply agree with God that what he says about you is true. We're all sinners. I know we don't like to hear that. That's uncomfortable. But we're all sinners in need of a Savior. But the great news is, the gospel truth is that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth to die on a cross so that you could be forgiven. But he's not going to force himself upon you. You've got to ask his forgiveness. You've got to invite him into your life. But when you do, your eternity is changed forever. God will forgive you. He will give you eternal life. If you're willing to do that today, then pray that prayer. It's not my prayer. You just simply say to God, God, I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior, and I ask your forgiveness, and I invite you into my life. It really is that simple. But let me warn you, if you do that, that doesn't mean life's going to get easy. Following God is the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do, and you'll never regret it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for your love, for amazing grace. God, I pray that we would examine those that we keep company with, that we would examine the influencers in our lives. And Lord, if we're not influencing others for your kingdom, but others are influencing us to live in a way that's not pleasing to you, God, help us to pursue you above all else and let you take care of the rest. God, for each of us as Christians, help us to make you the priority. Lord, for those who may be here today that don't know you, God, I'm praying right now that ask your forgiveness and trust in you. And when the music begins, they'd have the courage to come and say, I've asked Christ into my life. Lord, that we might rejoice with them. Lord, there are others here with various needs, and you know what those needs are, so I'm asking you right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to minister to them, to care for them. God, help us to give it to you and trust it to you. Have your way right now. It's in your precious name we pray these things. Amen.